Welcome to the Extreme Human Performance Podcast. And we have Phil Sutherland, founder of Team Novo Nordisk, joining us here today. Thank you, Phil, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, look, Team Novo Nordisk was an organization we were keen to have involved in this podcast because they're the first professional cycling team to be comprised completely of riders living with type 1 diabetes. And, you know, I know you've expanded that out to other sports as well. But let's just take it back before we reflect on the team solely. You yourself were part of a team that competed in the Race Across America. Indeed, I think you were in the team that won it in 2009. Can you share us with us some of the why you went to go on and develop Team Novo Nordisk?
I'm going to back things up even farther. You know, I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was 7 months old. They told my mom I'd be dead or blind by 25. Early on, we figured out that exercise led to better blood glucose numbers for me. And then life went on. In college, met a buddy. I saw and started meeting others with diabetes and saw that they were living challenged lives of what they could not do. And I thought, you know, diabetes needed role models, it needed heroes. And, you know, we formed a team type one with two guys, me and my buddy Joe. Then we decided to do something big, which was race our bikes across America, try to set a record. We did. And then set out on a journey for the Tour de France. And so from 2008 to 2012, my last year, correction, doing Race Across America was 2007, at 25 years old, when I was supposed to be dead, supposed to be blind. I was, you know, champion of the race, world record holder, with seven other type 1 diabetics. And we said, you know, we'd seen how impactful our mission, you know, our just being heroes in diabetes was having on, you know, the community as a whole. And I thought, we have to globalize this. And, you know, with, you know, sport and diabetes being my two passions, and it's their platforms to help each other. The only way you can do that is the Tour de France in the sport of cycling. The only way you can truly ensure you reach everyone in the world. So from 2008 to 2012, we competed in professional cycling as Team Type 1, becoming one of the top 25 teams in the world with a mixture of riders with and without diabetes. And then in 2012, I met a senior leader at, you know, Novo Nordisk. You know, shared my vision for the future and what I hoped to accomplish. He shared his vision on, you know, Novo Nordisk as a company and what, you know, they were hoping to do and how, you know, a team like ours could, you know, really help amplify their change in diabetes mission. And we put a deal together and, you know, forged together this partnership of Team Type 1 and Novo Nordisk to create Team Novo Nordisk. Which, as you said, the world's first all-diabetic professional cycling team. But I think if you look in all professional sport of any sport, you know, all the sports out there, I think we are the world's first to all have the same disease, the same genetic defect. And that's, you know, when sport is all about, you know, eliminating weakness, eliminating variables that can cause you to fail, we've used this, you know, what used to be argued as our greatest weakness, and made it the unifying strength of the team. So, you know, a long-winded answer to the question, but why is that everyone in the world needs hope, especially with, you know, living with diabetes? I feel that cycling is a great global platform that can allow us to reach the world. We're still on a journey to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is an incredible story because there is so many people affected by diabetes type 1. I think I read something like 400 million globally. You'll know better than me, Phil. But, you know, it's such an inspiring thing to have a sport dedicated, you know, with athletes with that condition and really set those as role model. But let me touch on that about role models. You have a talent pipeline program, and you have junior squads and development squads, and you've got this goal to reach the Tour de France. How is progress? You know, how do you focus a team towards those goals with obviously the limitations or certainly challenges that come with type 1 diabetes competing against the world best athletes?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's got to take a long-term view of getting to the Tour de France and trying to, and the sport of cycling, when you have money, you can buy riders. You buy the right riders, you can get into the Tour. There's a whole lot of other details and infrastructure that goes into place, but it's a free market of riders that can put together a team. And so here we are as an all-diabetic team, and we have the best of the best athletes with diabetes in the world racing for our organization. So to ensure our long-term viability, we early on we realized we had to invest in the youth. And so we started with the talent ID camps, then the junior team, development team, professional team, and all in gold, it's my hero factory. Because these kids, they come into the team at the camps, and then they're working their way from the camps to the junior team, and from the junior team to the development team. And we're really trying to broaden our pipeline so that at some point down the road, we'll have 100 phenomenal athletes with diabetes vying for spots, 1,000 phenomenal athletes with diabetes vying for spots, so that we can have that same fierce competition of athletes with diabetes that the general public has out there. Mm. It's just for so long, diabetes has been all about what you cannot do. And you can't exercise, you can't compete in sport, you can't do this, you can't eat that. It really, for 90 years, it was a disease of what you can't do. And my entire life, I've never said no to anything because of diabetes. I've just made adjustments to say yes. And so we take pride in really trying to globalize that diabetes is a, what you can do, what you can dream, all that's possible, but it takes work, a lot more work than if you didn't have diabetes, but, no work, no reward. And trying to help people out there realize that diabetes chooses the champions is, and inspiring people, whether it's cycling or whether it's journalism or any other sport or dream that they have, that diabetes is not going to hold them back. And I think cycling is just a great platform to empower that.
So let's focus specifically on type 1 diabetes. I just want to give our listeners a sense of a context of why this condition is such a challenge, particularly in endurance racing. So the condition is a result from a highly specific immune mediated destruction of pancreatic beta cells, resulting in hyperglycemia. What are the consequences of that condition when you're looking at athletes that are doing 2,000 kilometers over 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I think what most people don't realize is that diabetes is truly all encompassing. Everything you do has an impact on your glucose, and then glucose thus has an impact on your performance. And so if blood glucose is too high, then you're not performing at your maximal capacity. If blood glucose is too low, you're definitely not performing at your maximal capacity. But then, some days, your metabolism is going at a certain level. It's just this very fine balance that's a blend of, really it's a blend of art, science, that it takes to manage this effectively day after day after day. To be a professional athlete, it was a big challenge for us at first. Until we worked hard to develop systems for our athletes that enabled them to consistently be good at managing diabetes. Now we still make mistakes. It's an impossible disease to perfect at all times. And I think our fans this year responded a lot because we began showing our data to the fan base out there from our Dexcom, which is a continuous monitor. Showing that data so our fans can see, the Team Novo Nordisk riders have high glucose, they have low glucose. We struggle just like the general public to control it. But I think the thing that differentiates us is that my athletes, their jobs depend on, near perfection in glucose performance. So they have a much higher range of motivation, to manage their glucose because their jobs depend on it. For me, it's exciting that the guys don't ever complain about having diabetes. It is is hard. You know, if you give 1 unit extra insulin, then you might have to eat 150 grams of carbohydrates in a 30-minute window to stabilize glucose. No other athlete ever has to do that. You know, in the stomach, the human stomach is not built to absorb 150 grams of carbohydrates, immediately while competing in sport. It's just devastating on the gastrointestinal system. So, but our guys, if they need to, they do it. They overcome these variables. They push through them because ultimately, if they don't, then they're going to fail. And if they, and all of our athletes, they don't look at it's just it's not their own success. Their success inspires others, and they are not allowed to ever use diabetes as an excuse for failure because they have all the tools needed. They have all the support structure around them to enable good control. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that doesn't mean they're perfect all the time, and they're not going to be perfect. But we have to set that standard that we expect them to be as close to perfect as possible, because the inspiration of some kid out there in the world depends on their success or failure on the bike.
Yeah, I just think it's so interesting, when you're looking at, athletes without the condition, and they're climbing up these mountains and stuff, and they're hitting the wall. That's hard to regulate. Just having enough nutrition and obviously the environmental conditions if you're dehydrated, etc. So, unsurprisingly, Team Novo Nordisk is the only UCI registered team who has exemption from the strict no needles policy. And your athletes constantly have to monitor blood sugar levels and both on and off the bike. So, you could literally mid pedal stroke and you'd be injecting insulin and stuff like that, or so I've read. Can you describe, so your athlete is, in the peloton, you have your support crew around it. How are you managing the condition mid race? It's a competitive race, but how is your athlete's, managing that condition?
Yeah, so the management of their diabetes in the race really starts the night before the race, when they're given their basal dose of insulin. And there's two types of insulin. One is basal, which is typically once, sometimes twice per day, and it's always in the background. And then there's kind of a rapid-acting insulin, which is used around meals or to correct high glucose, and it works very quickly these days. So giving the appropriate amount of basal the night before is then going to dictate how your metabolism is working the day after. So you got to think that people say, well, how do you fuel for a race? Well, the fueling begins when you give your dose the night before. And then that then leads to, did you give the right amount, wrong amount? And then you make certain corrections in between. Then we, come breakfast time, it's about giving the right amount of insulin, giving the right amount of nutrition. And then we have a protocol from 3 hours out up until race start, enabling the guys to be, they start the race in the ideal levels. And then once the race begins, it's up to them. So our riders will typically have gels, food, nutrition in one pocket. They'll keep their glucose monitor, their Dexcom G6, along with their insulin in another pocket. And then there's another pocket for spare water bottles and whatnot. And the guys will continually, they'll look at their Dexcom, their continuous monitor every, 20, 30 minutes. And then, it'll give you a reading of where your glucose is, but also projections of where it's going. So let's say a rider sees glucose at, 160 with an arrow going down. They then know that they need to eat immediately. And so they take the information that they have and then they act accordingly. And sometimes if they're in a tough period and they don't know, they're not sure, they can always radio back to the car, and then our doctor will help them with the decision making process for what to do. But 98 times out of 100, the riders are fully self-sufficient for themselves during the race, and they're using the tools that we have today to be the best they can be. And we're working on kind of pushing the protocol for the next generation of technology so that we can make it even easier for athletes with diabetes to manage. But and we've got a great research team in place to do so. So it's, the guy that will eat on average 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour. And then if you reflect back to what I was talking about, the basal dose. So if we gave the right amount of basal insulin and did the right amount of dosing for insulin for breakfast and before the race, the riders will then eat 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour on average. Now, if there's an additional unit of basal, a very easy mistake to make over a stage race, I think 7-9 days of racing in a row, the body's changing a lot in that time period, then we might need 100 grams of carbohydrates per hour. And then there's the flip side. There's times where a rider may be a little conservative on their dosing and didn't get quite enough, then they might not need it at all for 5 hours. And you think, on day 2 or 3 of a stage race and glucose is elevated, a rider puts no nutrition in the body for 5 hours, it has a drastic consequence, not that day, but, the day after and the day after. So it's just a balancing act with a lot of extra variables that we have to become very in tune with to manage. And it's just the guys make mistakes, and we encourage them to make mistakes, because when you make mistakes, you learn. And if they make mistakes, then ideally, you make them in training and learn, while on the roads where there's no number on your back, what not to do. But there's going to be mistakes made during races, and we have to make note of that, talk with the medical team, and figure out how to be more intelligent the next time we're faced with the same circumstance.
Absolutely. So I want to touch on a little bit about, the future and how diabetic athletes will use technology to compete at the highest level, as they are now, but also in the future. And I suppose at this point, I wanted to maybe give a shout out to your title sponsor, because it was a really interesting article I saw only about 2 weeks ago with Novo Nordisk recently acquiring a biotech company which was designing synthetic molecules that bind to glucose and essentially monitor your glucose levels and activate it when it goes to a certain threshold. And what excites you about innovations that are coming through, whether it's that technology or smartphone-based glucose monitoring? And what do you think is exciting, or what technology would you find very useful as a professional cycling team?
Well, there's a lot of new things in the works, and that smart insulin concept that Novo Nordisk acquired was that's a dream scenario for majority of the population. One injection per day, your glucose goes up, the insulin works. Your glucose goes down, the insulin shuts off. It's going to take a lot of the challenges and errors out of day-to-day diabetes management, which will thus empower people with diabetes to go out there and push harder, race faster, do whatever they want to do, and be more effective at it. But from I think that technology is going to be a few years out, hopefully sooner, but it's kind of the gold standard of insulin that everyone is striving for. And when Novo Nordisk says we're going to do it, they typically do. They're a great company and have tremendous focus in the area, which I'm extremely grateful for. And then you look at the technology, and what would I like? There's the glucose that I need when sitting here having a conversation on the phone is far different than the glucose I need to be effective as an athlete. So, and we've done studies in the past on non-diabetic athletes during competition and seeing that they too have elevated glucose requirements. So we need to find some technology that's going to measure the glucose, it's going to allow us to do the same thing day in, day out, and racing and training just like every other athlete. Because when you can get into a system of habits of I eat this every 20 minutes, and it has the same impact on blood glucose each time you do it, then you can manage glucose to perfection. And when you do that, you reach your own personal maximal capacity. And right now, there's so much less up to chance. So there's, you know, artificial pancreas projects being worked on where someone will have an insulin pump on one arm, a continuous monitor on another, and there's an algorithm on the inside that makes the decisions, you know, for you, and will increase insulin doses automatically or decrease insulin doses automatically. And if we can get that to where it can respond, not just to being a student or going to work, being a parent, but to the rigors of professional sport, then I know that that technology will withstand any other test out there. And so far, right now, it's not. You know, we've got a good ways to go because diabetes in sport has been such a niche that nobody has invested in the research around it. There's been, very minimal investment in the research around diabetes in elite sport. So we still don't know. You know, we have, you know, from experiential data, we think we know where we need to be. But we just engaged a really phenomenal group of endocrinologists and exercise physiologists who are going to work together to try to figure out, you know, what is the perfect glucose for performance. And once we can understand what that perfect blood glucose for an individual's performance is, then we can work on fulfilling the technology to enable that glucose to be where it needs to be all the time. So there's a lot of questions we have. And, you know, Novo Nordisk has committed now to a research plan with, you know, the team Novo Nordisk physicians and our team Novo Nordisk research group. And, you know, we've got a broad set of questions that we're asking, some more specific sets of questions that we're asking, and we want to begin to publish a lot of journals and, you know, diabetes and exercise, start to answer these questions. Because once we know, as I said, once we know what the perfect optimal glucose for performance is, then we can look at what's the technology needed, what algorithms need to be developed, do we have everything in the wheelhouse needed or what's missing, and then we can solve for that. But we still, you know, we're still guessing from a scientific perspective.
Yeah, because I suppose it gets, you know, really complicated when you're looking at sport in general. You know, you might have a ski team or a cross country ski team. How does the cold affect your, monitoring your glucose levels, or your triathlon team? I know that there was, you did triathlon teams for a while, you know, the jumping in the water and coming out, how does that affect it? So I'm sure there's so many questions. And the Fitbit recently acquired, I've forgotten the name of the company, but acquired a company looking at artificial intelligence and kind of predicting individuals that perhaps will have diabetes or you know, maybe have diabetes. And is that something that gets you excited about, you know, using computer programs that can kind of look at the data and understand different patterns and get you to do an action before you might have some dire consequences?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything that can help, you know, the decision-making process, or anything that can help, you know, with reaching the optimal glucose on a more consistent basis is going to help us to perform better. And our better performances for us lead to more lives changed. And, you know, the new technology and the people that are working on this, I'm really excited about the potential out there. We want to work with them, because I think one thing that, I guess the skeptic in me says that, you know, my body's different every single day. You know, I've got, you know, from an insulin dosing perspective, from a nutritional need perspective, the body changes on a daily basis. And having technology that can rapidly, you know, adapt to that change, is going to be helpful. And, you know, you can't just put a sport mode and say, this is what you do for all athletes. Because I have some of my athletes, we send them out on the roads with elevated glucose because their blood sugar drops during the beginning of a race. But then I've got other athletes that we send out with lower, you know, not low, from the individually know their body, how their body reacts. And if we can eventually teach machines to, what are the differences in each person's physiology, and maybe segment the populations out, then there is a lot of upside potential for diabetes management with technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so some of our listeners, no doubt, may have type 1 diabetes, and they want to kind of find out a little bit more about blood glucose management. Of course, that's the medical profession, but if they're interested about following the team, and not just from a clinical perspective, but obviously your progress, and they can relate to it, and where do they find more information?
Hey, we've got our most robust set of info on our website, teamnovonordisk.com. And then we try to have a consistent flow of what our athletes are doing on a daily basis on our Twitter and Facebook channels, which I think we just hit 8 million fans on Facebook last week. It's just great to see such a passionate group of fans growing day by day by day. To me, is really proof that what we're doing is making a difference. So if you're new to the need of inspiration, or new to diabetes, or you just want to see athletes overcoming challenge to be the best they can be and inspire others, please jump on board one of our channels, become a fan, a follower, and if you know someone with diabetes, send them our way. I've got a pretty dynamic hero factory, and I'm just constantly amazed that when someone who's been struggling finds out about our team, how their life can change for the better in a moment, and it's we talk about technology and reaching the tour and the grand potential changes and whatnot, but hope is what we delivered today, and that's my hope is priceless in diabetes, and exercise is a $1 billion drug that we get to prescribe to our fans all over the world, and hopefully get not just the people with diabetes exercising, but people without diabetes, because again, exercise is a $1 billion drug that never gets prescribed. And when you're exercising, you live a life of hope. And those two together are priceless.
Well, thank you very much, Phil, for joining us. It really is an inspiring story. And I wish your team every success in the years ahead.
Thank you very much, Nick.